inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Today on the podcast, I want to try something a little bit different. You guys know that I love rentals, and I really think rentals are the greatest way to generate cash flow and to build long-term wealth. But there's other aspects of real estate that interest me and I want to learn more about. So what I've decided to do is from time to time, not on any set schedule, just kind of when I'm interested in something, I want to bring someone on and learn more about a particular topic. And I realize that this may or may not be interesting to everybody, and that's totally cool. We're still going to keep doing our regular interviews every Tuesday. This is just in addition to what we're doing normally. So I want to bring on the show Jan Lam. Jan is a friend of mine, and he's a very successful house flipper. And we both live in Northern Virginia, and we actually both live in the same neighborhood. So I talk to Jan all the time about real estate. He's a really smart guy, and he's got a really successful business flipping houses. So Jan, I hope it's cool with you if we pick your brain and kind of figure out exactly how to flip a house. Is that cool with you?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Awesome. I'm ready.
I appreciate it. So Jan's been on the show before. He was on episode 53, and we talked about how he bought two rentals with using only $1,000 of his own money, which I think is a really, really cool thing. So Jan is an expert at real estate finance and really knows what he's doing. So Jan, can you tell us just kind of on average how much you make on a flip? And don't include the outliers. I understand there's going to be those crazy deals where you make $200,000, and there's going to be maybe other deals where you go over budget and you maybe don't make much money. But on average, how much do you make per deal?
That's a great question. The average deal, that after all expenses, our profits net around $50,000 for an average hold time of 6 months or less.
Wow, that's awesome. So that's after you've paid your contractors, your holding cost, closing costs, every expense, you make $50,000 profit.
That's correct. Money in your pocket.
Awesome. Well, I got to hear how you're doing this. I'm really excited to talk to you. Before we get into the show, why don't you just give us a little bit about your background, tell us how you got into real estate, and just a little bit about yourself.
Sure, no problem. My background, I actually have a master's degree in aerospace engineering. I've worked for NASA. I've worked for the Department of Homeland Security and several other federal agencies as a contractor. So my entire career has been in corporate America working for someone else. But as my wife and I started to raise a family, we found out that our commute to DC has been quite cumbersome. And so we're looking for opportunities to be able to do a business from home and set our own schedule so we can raise our kids the way we want to and not dictated by my own boss. So the only boss I have today is my wife and no one else.
That's a tough boss.
That is a tough boss. And sometimes it's worse than the other one. But hey, it's for the family, right?
Yeah.
So we did flipping about part-time for about 2.5 years while I was still working on my full-time job. And around that point in time, the 2.5 year mark, we decided that we've made enough money. We did 12 flips. And I decided to leave my full-time job. And now both my wife and I are stay-at-home parents.
And I get the impression that you have a lot of free time. Like, you know, this morning you were taking your kids to the bus. I mean, you have a really great lifestyle, right?
Yes, that's correct. My little girl, actually, she's 5 years old. I always wonder why I'm always the only father at the bus stop. So it's a great compliment, but, you know, she thinks it's a bad thing.
Wow. So yeah, so it's really worked out well. You've been really successful with this. So let me kind of walk through the entire process of how you flip a house. So let's start at the very beginning. You find some incredible deals, like way under market deals. Like some of these deals you tell me about, I'm like, you got that house for that price? How do you find these way under market deals?
Okay. Well, basically what you have to do as a business person is understand value. So there's value in your offer, even though it's discounted. So there are people out there who are what I call motivated sellers. They need to sell like yesterday, for whatever life circumstances that may have happened, maybe a divorce, maybe a death in the family, maybe they'd strapped for cash and need a way out without much hassle. Or maybe they don't have the resources to renovate the house to make it retail ready. They just need cash like yesterday. So that's our target market. And because they are in need of cash and very motivated, they're willing to sell at a discount, especially the ones with a lot of problems, that what I call distressed homes with a lot of physical issues.
Okay. But it's, so how do you actually find those deals? I mean, those deals are out there, but are they hard to find, or are you just tuned into to where they are?
That's a great question. I always like to say that it's only hard when you don't know what you're doing, right?
Okay.
So when you know what you're doing, it becomes a little bit easier, like anything we do in life. So for me personally, I know there are a lot of other house flippers out there that do it in different ways. And it works well for them. But for me personally, I like to keep my marketing budget very low. And I use my naturally born skills of networking to be able to get referrals. So, okay. You know, we have friends, we have family, and every one of us eventually will know someone who needs to sell a house, whether it will be a regular sale or a distressed sale. And as we cast our network, our net wider, that we tend to get more leads. I mean, I like to say that each one of us are 7 phone calls away from getting someone of significant importance in the White House.
Right.
So likewise, in real estate, the power is in your network.
That's awesome. So you're just constantly talking to people, you know, letting them know that you flip houses, you're looking for deals, and then your network is referring deals to you?
That's correct. That's awesome. We also find our deals on the MOS as well, via short sales.
Okay.
And so that's another way to get deals. But most of our deals do come from referrals and not on the market.
That's awesome. Now, let's talk about how you analyze the deal. One thing that I love with rentals is it's really easy using the 1% rule to analyze a rental deal. So if I see a property that's $100,000 and I know it's going to rent for $1,000 a month, like, I know on the surface that that's a good deal. That's a deal I would maybe do some more analysis on to make sure that's something I want to buy. Are there any rules of thumb that you can use to quickly evaluate a deal to see if it's something you want to buy?
Absolutely. There is a formula to do something on the surface more preliminary, and then if it looks like it's a deal, then we deep dive into the analysis to see if it's a good deal or not. So the formula is very simple. Once you find out what the after repair value is, what I call the ARV, you take that number, you multiply it by 70%, and then you subtract what your renovation estimate will be, and that should be your target purchase price on a preliminary level. So if you have something where the formula gauges out to be, you know, after you calculate everything, comes out to be $300,000, and then the seller wants $325,000, then, you know, you have a little bit of room to negotiate with them and say, hey, you know what, we might make this work, right? Okay. And you can go ahead and do it more, spend more time to do more analysis on it.
So, all right, just to make sure I understand. So if a property, the after repair value, when it's all fixed up, is $100,000, you want to buy it at 70% of that, so $70,000. And if you estimate that there's $20,000 in repairs, you're looking to buy that house for $50,000.
That's correct.
Is that right?
That's
incredible.
Correct.
And so people will do that. People will sell their property to you because they're in a tough situation. They'll sell it to you at that big of a discount.
That's correct.
That's awesome. Now, I've seen you have a really detailed spreadsheet when you're actually doing the analysis. So that formula is a great way to see if something is going to work on the surface. But you have this incredibly detailed spreadsheet that you've showed me where you can plug things in and figure out what it's going to cost.
Right? That's correct. I like to call that spreadsheet. It's detailed, but it's also simple. Simple to use, but it details, meaning it covers everything that would happen in a rehab, such as taxes, utilities, holding costs on your hard money loan, resale costs with commissions with your real estate agents, and so forth.
Wow, that's awesome. And so you can plug everything in there, and it'll tell you, okay, well, like, I'm going to redo the kitchen. Like, that's going to probably cost me X amount, whatever it's going to cost. Like that spreadsheet is showing you all that?
Well, actually, in the renovation part, there's only three options, what I say, three tiers of what renovation you'll do. So if you have something, such for example, on simplistic terms, if you just change in the kitchen and change in the bathrooms and keeping everything in the same locations where the refrigerator used to be, where the stove used to be, where the sink used to be, you're not moving anything, then that's what we call a simple rehab. A simple rehab has a formula, the spreadsheet will calculate. Now, if you have to move things, if you have to move walls to make the floor plan more open concept, then the spreadsheet will follow a different formula, what I would call a minor rehab. And it follows a different formula and calculates the estimate of your renovation based on the square footage of your house.
And that spreadsheet usually comes out pretty close to what it's actually going to cost you, what your contractor is actually going to charge?
On average, yes. Over
That's
time,
awesome.
Yes. Now, there's going to be one of those outliers out there where you just completely missed the dot.
Right, right.
But on average, over time, yes, it is pretty
okay.
accurate.
Now, you mentioned hard money. Is that how you're funding your deals?
That is one way I fund my deals. One of my things is, as an investor, because I have five kids, I would like to risk as little of my money as possible. So I like to leverage myself with other people's money. Hard money is one of them, along with partnerships and private investors to be able to fund the rest of the deal to make it work where I use as little of my money as possible.
And so do you have a big network of people that are willing to partner up with you or lend you money?
Like, Yes, we do.
Wow. And so when you find a deal, it's not a big deal to find the money.
That's right. Correct, because if the deal is good, the money will come, like to always say.
Wow. And you're never going to a bank and taking out a mortgage. Like, you're able to find private investors for all your deals?
That's correct. And the great thing is that you don't need a credit check. You don't need it to show in your credit report. Their debt-to-income ratio is irrelevant. And if you have a bad credit score, it doesn't matter, because a hard money lender and a private investor is backing their money on the real estate and not you. So their money is safe.
And that is really incredible. So you're not using any of your own money and you're making on average 50 grand a deal. Like that
That's
is
correct.
Just mind blowing. Now, all right, now tell me about contractors. Now, it's always a challenge finding good contractors. How do you find contractors? And I know you've got these contractors that work incredibly cheap. So how do you find good contractors that work cheap?
Absolutely. Well, the reason why contractors, normal contractors, charge an arm and a leg, such as Michael and Sons or folks on Angie's List or Home Advisor, is because they're paying a marketing fee, and that marketing fee is passed on to the consumer, right? Mm-hmm. So the average person, the average homeowner, that's where they go to find a contractor, because that's real estate is not their business. Well, for us, because real estate is our business, we look for contractors who does not need to do that kind of advertising. They do not need to advertise on the Super Bowl, right, as a commercial. Mm-hmm. So because they're not advertising, they pass those savings on to us and give us the rates of what I call wholesale prices instead of retail prices.
Yeah. And last winter, I had a problem with my HVAC in one of my rentals. And I called my HVAC guy and he was busy because it was one of the coldest days of the year. And so the next thing I thought of was, all right, I'll go on Angie's List and I'll find someone that has good ratings on Angie's List. So I went on there. I found someone that they came over, they fixed it. It cost a lot of money, but they took care of it. But I was telling you about it afterwards, and you were so mad at me that I went on Angie's List. And you were telling me that your guy is really, really good, and he's really, really cheap, but he drives around in this old van that's falling apart. His tires don't match. So are most of your contractors like this, that they're really good, they're really cheap, but they maybe just aren't going to have nice pressed uniforms and they're not going to have a nice logo on their truck?
That's correct. I mean, you know, because remember that logo on the truck, or maybe even that logo on a polo shirt with nice shoes, like some, you know, United Air Temp is a perfect example. An HVAC company, they come out with a very nice, it's almost like a salesman type uniform.
Right.
So that costs money. And of course that money is charged to the consumer and passed on to the consumer. Well, my guy, when he comes out, sometimes he comes out in sweats and a t-shirt. Now, people may prejudge him on the surface, but they don't know him like I know him, right?
Right.
So I don't care what he dresses, how he dresses, as long as he gets the work done and done correctly and passes code and makes it work.
Now, what about keeping them? Because contractors are just notorious for flaking out. They may be good for a while, but then they get busy or they find someone that'll pay them more. How do you keep your contractors? How do you keep them to continue to do jobs for you?
Well, and that's understandable because, you know, life happens to everybody. Contractors are human beings as well. So if they have life issues, that's understandable. But the best way to keep them as a loyal contractor, just like you're trying to find a good contractors are always trying to find good customers. Well, how do you become a good customer? Well, you make sure you take care of them on the back end. So if they do a good job and you do a deal where, let's say my average deal is $50,000, but on that one deal, we make $60,000, much more than we expected. Mm-hmm. Why not give a bonus to the contractor so that way they're happy and they're looking forward to doing the next deal with us? Because, you know, in any business, it's cyclical. Right. You know, there's ups and there's downs. So when it's up, you take care of your people. When it's down for you, they take care of you. And it goes in a full circle of life.
Now, all right, so you've got the rehab done. Your contractors have gone in there. They've fixed the house up. Now, when you go to sell the house, do you try to sell it at the top of the market, the highest price you can, or do you maybe go a little bit lower to try to get it sold quicker?
That all depends. It depends on the inventory in that neighborhood. So if inventory is low, then we'll go ahead and market our house probably something a little bit higher. If there is inventory in the neighborhood and we have a little bit of competition, then we want to make ours look the best, but the best price so that way we can sell it quickly. Because the longer we have it, the more holding costs and interest payments we pay on our loan, and we may end up, you know, losing more because we're losing time.
Right.
Especially now, I have two houses that are getting ready to go on the market. I want them to go on the market no later than the end of the month because what happens after Thanksgiving, things slow down, right?
Right.
So to get top dollar, you have to time things perfectly, and then you price them perfectly based on when you're doing it and based on what's available at that time in that neighborhood in the marketplace.
Right. Okay. So that's where like your realtor comes in. Does your realtor kind of guide you like, hey, here's all the listings for sale. I think we should maybe price it here.
That's a great question. Yeah. Yes, I do have an agent who works with me. Now, he doesn't decide everything. I like to have a mastermind. So like in my contractors, I mastermind with them on the renovation plan. Likewise, with my agent, I mastermind with them on what the opening list price should be and what open house should be based on their schedule. So yes, we do work together on what the price should be. And we'll also decide whether or not we should stage the house based on the layout if people will be confused on how to set their furniture and how to live on a functional level when they move in.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about that. So staging is that like, I've always heard that staging lets you sell the house for more money. Is that true? Are you able to sell the house for more because it's staged?
On most times, yes, because if people cannot, the average person cannot visualize how that house will function and how they will live in it. So by the fact of staging it, they can imagine, okay, the couch goes here, the TV goes here, and the dining room table goes here and the breakfast area goes here. So they can imagine how they can live now. And they can, and most of the time when the houses are staged, they spend more time in the house looking at it because they have a place to sit.
Right.
So now
right.
they're thinking about it. They're enjoying the new paint smell. They're enjoying the new hardwood smell. Right.
Right.
And
right.
just like when you buy a car, you have a new car smell. Right.
Right. right. Right. Okay. Well, Jan, I mean, this is awesome. I've learned so much from talking to you and I feel like there's more I need to know. I'd really like to do a flip. And you have a training class that you do on how to flip houses. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
Sure. I mean, the reason why I started doing what I call boot camps is because I myself started at a boot camp. And that's how I learned all what I need to know to be successful at rehabbing without failing. So I decided to pay it forward by conducting my own boot camps. And I love education because one of my prior things in engineering was to teach classes and teach students. So education is part, I guess, is part of my genes. So our next rehabbing boot camp is coming up on the first weekend of November, November 5th and 6th. It's a 2-day boot camp where we get a chance to go through all this stuff on what you need to know on how to rehab. And plus, we'll even visit properties to kind of get a feel of what a good deal will look like. So by the time you leave, you'll know exactly what you need to do to rehab houses without any further classes. And that's it. And we also, you know, it's going to be in Haymarket, Virginia. And the average cost for the class is $1,499. But, you know, Dan, you and I have been good friends, and I know you have a great audience. So what I've decided to do for those who actually like our class and want to learn more about it, they can go to our website at fortunehomesteam.com. Website again is fortunehomesteam.com. And the registration link is there. But for those who are listening on this podcast, I encourage them to click on the contact link and just email me with a promo code of Dan, D-A-N, okay? And what I'll do, if since you heard it from this podcast, I'll give you $100 off on the class. But, you know, I really think the $100 is good. But the best thing is that the whatever you pay for the bootcamp will eventually be refunded to you after you do your first successful deal with us, with our team. And so we're not in the business to make money in education. We're in the business to make money with the public by doing deals together.
And that's a pretty interesting idea. So you take the class, you pay for the class. If you do a deal with Jan, you can actually get your money refunded. He's got details on his website where he talks about exactly what qualifies as working with him. If you go to rentalincomepodcast.com/flip, I've got a link to Jan's website, also his contact information. If you have any questions about anything, or if you want to get the $100 off if you take the class. Well, Jan, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And I hope that you found some value out of this bonus episode. And like I said at the beginning, we'll do some more bonus episodes here from time to time. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.